If you are a sourdough connoisseur, that's a big commitment. And I'm watching these bitches. And I say bitches as a term of endearment. Welcome back to another episode of Staying Inspired with, as always, your host and hype woman, Amanda Yoa. How's everyone doing? I hope we all had a wonderful weekend. I had a majestic, magical, beautiful, show-stopping, iconic weekend without my children. Yes, I was child-free. And sometimes, you know, child-free is just the way to be. Honestly, child-free is the way to be. I was so happy without my kids. Me and my husband, we went to Live Casino in Philly. We lived our best life. We gambled. We had a few drinky drinks. We went out to a nice dinner. We saw Allen Iverson. We ended up staying at the hotel. We were in bed by like 10:30 with ice cream and something else that I can't really talk about. But we had a grand old time. We really did. It was wonderful. And then Saturday, we went out with friends during the day. It was glorious. I mean, I say this to say that it's okay to say every once in a while that it's okay to not have your kids. Like, we need to find that home work life balance. You know, me and my husband were starving for a weekend together alone. Usually every time when I have to have a babysitter for my kids, which I'm grateful to have babysitters from time to time, people that will, you know, pitch in and watch, whether it's family or friends. It takes a village. Let's remember that, you know. But every time we have a babysitter, I normally have somewhere to go or something to do, right? So this was like the first weekend. My sister was like, how about I take the kids for the weekend? I was like, how about you do that? That sounds amazing. Aunt of the year. Give it up for Aunt TT. I mean, she goes above and beyond. But, you know, normally we have plans. So this was the first weekend that we had zero plans, and we ended up creating our own plans. I remember at one point saying to my husband, I'm just going to sit at home and not do a thing. I did have a nice, relaxing morning the one morning, but other than that, we were out and about living our best life. It was really fun. We really had a good time. I was happy. It was joyous. But then, you know, come Sunday, I had a speaking event. Inner Badass Reborn had a mastermind event for women in business. So I went out and spoke. Shout out to Dana, who hosted a wonderful event. Thank you so much. But that was fun. And then, you know, driving home from that, I was like, I can't wait to see my kids. You know, it's like you need to get away from them. And then sometimes the moment they're away, you want them back. It's a vicious cycle. But it was nice to have that break. My husband and I really needed it. And we had a really great weekend. We made the best of it. We had a good time with friends and each other, did all the things. And oh my God, before we switch gears, let me just tell you how my magic mind journey has been going. I know I talk about this. Now, I've been taking this for a while now. It's a little shotsky, two gulps, and it's down. You don't got to worry about carrying around a big old drink. I mean, I have my water. Sometimes I have so many drinks. It takes me like two trips to get back and forth from my kitchen to my office in the morning. It's a little shot glass. When I tell you, my energy has been on. I have been focused like no other. I'm like, coffee who? I don't even need a coffee. Like, it's so hard for me to sometimes do things long term. And I think it's because I have like my undiagnosed ADHD. Like, after a while, like things fall off with me or I fall back into my old ways. I've been so consistent with this, and I feel like it's been helping me be more consistent with being more consistent. I don't know. It's crazy, but I don't need my coffee in the morning. I can just have coffee as a treat. I don't have to worry about going out buying creamer as often, which is amazing. It's saving me money. I don't have as many trips to Starbucks, even though I love Starbucks so, so much. Now I just have Starbucks as like a treat and not like a necessity, you know? So check them out, magicmind.com. Use the code GOALFRIENDS and get yourself 20% off. When I tell you this is the real deal energy, like you will not be needing a 2 o'clock pick me up. I am energized. I don't feel jittery. It is real deal energy and focus with things that nurture your body in the right way. So check them out. MagicMind.com. Use the code GOALFRIENDS and get yourself 20% off. All right. So if you guys didn't see, I was posting this journey on my Instagram of me and I didn't talk about it. I haven't posted any other posts. People are probably like, Amanda, what happened with this sourdough journey? Let me tell you what happened. Okay. So I'm just going to say I have my strong points when it comes to baking and cooking, and I have my weak points. And apparently it's been made very apparent that creating starter dough, creating dough, bread in itself is not my shtick. It's not my game. It's not my strong point. Okay. So I thought, you know what? I'm not going to go out and buy the active yeast, right? No. We're going to do this. We're going to do this the colonial way. I'm going to build this yeast. I'm going to build my own starter dough from scratch. Now, this is like a 7-day process. Okay. There's very different, there's a few different variations. So I chose something off of Pinterest that was very straightforward, very easy to follow. I'm thinking to myself, how hard could this be? Right. Well, apparently harder than I thought it was, at least for me. So the first time I created this jar, and it's like, you know, form a bond with your jar, form a bond with your starter. It's like, you know, when you nurture a flower and it grows, they say when you water it, you're supposed to talk to it. So I was doing that to this starter dough. And I named her after my mother. Cause I'm like, you know, if she gives me a hard time, I'm just going to tell her like it is. Cause me and my mom, you know, she gives me a hard time from time to time, and me and her will butt heads. So I'm like, I'm going to name this sourdough starter Sue. So good old Sue, you know, the first couple of days, things were looking good. You got to look for bubbles. You see it rise up a little bit. Sometimes there's like water that forms and they call it like brown water. They call it the hooch. Okay. So she was like a little hoochie coochie. You have to dump that out. You know, you got to follow the directions, right? So one of the directions that I didn't follow from the gate was to not close the lid tightly. Actually, it didn't tell me whether to keep a tight lid on it or not. Okay, so I blame the website. And I'm sure whoever followed the same directions that I did ended up the same way I did. Okay, so by day 4, this thing stunk like I cannot even put into words, like a dead body, honestly, like a rotting corpse. Okay, like Famunda cheese. You know what I'm talking about? That's exactly what it stunk like. And I thought to myself, this cannot be how this is supposed to smell. Nobody should be ingesting anything that is mixed with something that smells like this. So I'm like, I had to have done this wrong. So lo and behold, I did. I kept the lid tightly shut, which I shouldn't have done. And instead of growing starter dough, what I in turn ended up growing was a yeast infection. Okay. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to give good old Sue her redemption because that was my fault. I obviously didn't follow directions, even though I didn't see that in there. I didn't see it, obviously. Okay. So we're going to take two. We're going to do this right. Okay. So I tried it again. I had to go out and buy a whole new jar because I thought day 5, I ain't even cracking that bad boy open. Day 4, it stunk like a dead body. What day 5 stunk like? I couldn't tell you because I threw it right in a trash jar and all. So I went out to Target. I got myself a new jar. I come back. We start the process over. Now I'm like on a time limit because in my mind, I'm thinking this is going to be so epic. I'm going to pull out this bread, this sourdough bread loaf on Easter Sunday for all of my family to see. And everybody's going to be like, oh, where's this bread from? And I'm going to be like, oh, well, don't you know, I made it from scratch. Like the colonial women, because that is me and I am her. But that never happened because, you know, shit just went south. So I did it again. And I don't know, something with the flour and the water combination. The first 2 days we were looking good. Bubbles, great. Everything was fine. You know what I think it was? Taking it to day seven. I think day four, I could have used it and it would have been good. But the direction said wait at least 7 days. Okay. So I waited 7 days, had this dough going, draining the hooch, feeding her. You got to put flour in it. They say do it the same time every day. Give it water. I was giving it Jersey Taff. How you doing? So by day seven, it was looking like, I guess, how it should have looked in my eyes. Like it looked like the pictures on the website, right? But then I came across this thing where it was like, to test your starter dough, take a small little spoonful of it, grab yourself a glass and plop it, a glass with water and plop it in there. If your starter dough is ready, it will float on the top. That's how you know it's ready to go and you can bake with it. So I thought, terrific. Day seven is here. We're ready to go, right? So I take out my jar. I say good morning to her. I'm like, good morning, Sue. How are you? I hope you had a wonderful sleep. Did you produce bubbles for me today? You got any hooch? What happened last night? How was your night? Were you able to get out for a cigarette? I don't know. So popped her open. Now I didn't keep it tightly shut because again, we didn't want to grow a yeast infection. This time I put a wet rag over her every night because that's what they said to do. So I take the wet rag off and I take a scoop of her out. I have a glass of water. I plop good old Sue in there and girlfriend sunk to the bottom quicker than a mafia hit with cement around their ankles. Okay. So that just told me, you know what? It at that point, it was the Friday before Easter. It was Good Friday. And I thought, well, we've done all we could and that's it. We're ending this journey. This is obviously not for us. We are not a colonial woman. And there you have it. So if anybody was wondering how the sourdough journey went, that's how it went. And I was pretty pissed off because I gave it two tries and don't even say to me third time's the charm because I'm not doing it. But let me know, what did I do wrong? If you are a sourdough connoisseur, right? Like you're out here and I'm watching these bitches. And I say bitches as a term of endearment, but they're on TikTok and they got like a jar just full of starter, right? And then I thought to myself, and they're producing bread. And this one girl went out and bought an industrial oven and she's pumping out loaves of bread and giving it to the neighbors. And I thought to myself, that's a big commitment. So from the gate, I said, this was a one and done deal because I thought to myself, you got to constantly feed this starter dough. So I'm like, what if I go on vacation? I got to bring this jar with me. I got to feed it. It's bad enough. I got to feed two kids. I'm not feeding a jar of yeast. Not happening. So I knew it was like a one and done deal, right? So I'm like, I'll give it my all this one time and then that'll be it. But God had other plans. So on Easter, we didn't have sourdough bread. Instead, we had a nice loaf of pound cake from Stock's Bakery. And I did cook some other things, you know, which were right in my wheelhouse. But sourdough was just not one of it. But let me know. Follow me on Instagram, but go on this week's post and comment and let me know, like, what did I do wrong? Right? Did I maybe use too much water? Not enough flour? I did unbleached flour. Right? It said I could use regular flour. I didn't use baking flour. So is that where I messed up? I don't know. I feel like these instructions were very vague. They were straightforward, but they left some important things out, right? Which messed me up in the past. So maybe it was the website. I don't know. You let me know. Where did I mess up? Comment on this week's post and let me know, okay? Because I really need to know. I was kind of upset. I mean, I'm over it now, but you know, we're talking about it again and all the emotions are coming back up. All right, let's switch gears.
Are you tired of listening to the same old songs on the radio?
Do you love discovering new tunes and hearing different perspectives on them?
If so, you're in the right place. On our show, Chris and Amanda's Song Swap Showdown, we each pick three songs that we think the other has never heard before and then have a discussion about them.
It's like listening in on your friend's conversation at lunch or a coffee break, except it's us and it's always hilarious.
We rate the songs on a sliding scale of 1 to 5 records, with 1 being a dumpster fire and 5 being a song that will never leave our ears. If you're a music fan or just love hearing two friends share laughs, stories, and music history, then make sure you tune in to Chris and Amanda's Song Swap Showdown every Monday at 8:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Facebook and Twitch.
Or follow us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel for full episodes and highlight videos every week.
So come join us and discover some new tunes on Chris and Amanda's Song Swap Showdown.
Hey, guess what, goal friends? Yes, I'm interrupting this episode to tell you that I'm officially launching my merch line. Staying Inspired merch, where every piece isn't just apparel, it's a whole anthem. Not just a vibe, but a whole movement, baby. A statement that roars louder than words, defining what it truly means to stand out as a woman in today's world. Staying Inspired is more than a brand. We're a revolution to empower, uplift, and redefine womanhood. Each piece stamped with confidence, ambition, and fearless vibes. By wearing Staying Inspired, you don't just flaunt a look, yet amplify a message, a commitment to yourself, to shattering glass ceilings and creating a world where every woman thrives. We got something for every woman as well as the mamas. That's right. We got a Mommy and Me legacy line where fierceness of womanhood meets the tenderness of motherhood. Check us out at AmandaYoa.com. All right, I'll let you get back to the episode. All right, switching gears, hot off the gram. You guys, I got a special guest with me for this hot off the gram. I wanted to dive deep. I know I mentioned it a little bit last week, the whole Diddy situation. It's all over Instagram. It's all over TikTok. Everybody's got their opinion. You know, then the week in between, OJ passed away. There's been some connection with that too. Crazy shit going on with that. So with me, I have special guest Stephanie Jane, which is a fellow Philly native. She's a social media influencer renowned for her eclectic content that spans across TikTok and Instagram. She brings a unique Philly vibe to her work, effortlessly blending local flavors with captivating deep dives into celebrity lives, which is what we're going to get into today. She's known for not just sticking to one niche. She keeps our audience guessing and engaged with diverse array of content. So welcome to the show. Welcome to the craziness that is Staying Inspired.
Hey, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So I noticed I follow you on TikTok and I noticed that you recently just turned 40. So happy birthday.
Good. Thank you.
It was this year, right?
Yeah, it was March 18th.
Nice. So did you dread it or were you like looking forward to turning 40?
I was dreading it because it's 40, but also looking forward to it because like, this is where it stops for me. So like, I'm never going to get any older, you know, I'm just going to tell people I'm 40 for the rest of my life. I'm like, good. Like the irresponsible part of my life is over. Now I can have the fun, irresponsible part of my life and I'm just going to be 40 forever. So it was bittersweet, honestly.
That's nice. You know, I can't wait to turn 40. I feel like sometimes people don't take you serious because you're not of a certain age, especially when you're doing certain things, you know, like people look at you like, oh, what do you know about life? You're just a 30 something. And I thought I was going to get that like, okay, I'm initiated into like adulthood when I hit 30. Apparently, no, it's like 40 and above. So I'm like waiting with like anxiousness to turn 40. I can't wait. I think it's because just all the growth that we experience like through that eight, like that gap between like our 20s to our 40s. I feel like we transform so much and I've overcome so much in my life in that, you know, span. So
but for sure,
you know,
I'm the wisest version of myself right now. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. So kudos to you. I'm so excited for you. I can't wait to turn 40. I wanted to bring that up. I'm like, I just be 40. So people take me serious.
It's the I don't give an F era. It has begun.
Yes. All right. So let's dive in. Let's get into it. Diddy do it. I don't know. You mentioned this whole lineage. I've been waiting to use that. You mentioned this whole lineage of connection between Diddy and OJ, which I want to get into, but I want to give just a little catch up in case, you know, anybody's been in a black hole for the past, you know, since all this has been going on and has no idea what I'm talking about. So let's break down for us what's been going on with Diddy.
So Diddy was, it goes back a couple months, actually. Well, I would say that like everything cracked open when his ex-girlfriend Cassie, Cassie sued him. So she dropped this like bombshell lawsuit on him. And he's had other allegations in the past, but this was huge. And it was, I think, 75 pages long. And it was pretty much like this, like he didn't think that she would, but she did. And he settled it the next day. So like he was like not willing to go to court. Like he was like, she, you know, it gave the like, she's got me, I got no choice.
Right.
Vibe. But what it did was it opened the door for other people to come forward. So this Rodney Jones character, I won't call him a character, this gentleman, Rodney Jones, came forward with his allegations, another 75-page lawsuit full of allegations against Diddy and the people Diddy works with and for. There's mention of, you know, SA and sex trafficking and drugs and guns and people being shot. It's all the list of allegations spans so many different parts of the law that it's actually a RICO case. So it's federal. Mm-hmm. And the basically after this case dropped, the feds raided all three of Diddy's houses at the same time simultaneously. Like, you're not doing that if you don't got something. You know, right. What I mean?
Like, that's what I said. I'm like, you know, all these people that are like ride or dies for Diddy. I'm like, when Homeland Security is at your house, like they got a little something, something on you. They got a lot of something, something on you.
Yeah, they have to. And like there's conspiracy theorists that say like they weren't there to get evidence. They were there to clean up evidence, because one of the other allegations against Diddy is that he would have these freak off parties, basically orgies. And he had cameras in every room in his house. So it's alleged that he has like blackmail, on celebrities, politicians, basically everybody who's anybody who's been to one of Diddy's parties, he has blackmail on. So there's a lot of conspiracy that like they went in to clean up those tapes or whatever. But it's all alleged, of course.
Right.
So, how I got into it, it was kind of unplanned. I basically just like, I found out that after he was raided, he left. He actually left his sons at the house and he left to leave. He never actually did get to leave, though. It was rumored that he left on a plane. And I made a joke, which is so weird, because if you go back to my initial video about this, mm-hmm. my very first video about Diddy, I said, the new white Bronco is a white private jet. I literally made an OJ reference.
Oh my God, that's great.
My first video about the whole thing. So he left his kids. They got arrested. And it was Justin and he has two older sons. They were both arrested and then they were released. But he left his kids like getting arrested. Like, you don't do that if you're innocent.
Right.
And allegedly, he was trying to go to the Bahamas with his daughters, but they stopped him at the airport. So he was stopped from leaving the country. His houses were raided. Right. And that to me says like they're building a case. They're not going to pick him up until they have it open and closed. Like, they're not going to pick him up on a, you know, circumstance. They're building it up.
Yeah. And I just know like from watching enough true crime stories, you know, by the time they're at that part where they have the go ahead to raid, they already have enough evidence to convict you of, you know, whatever you're being.
Especially in three different counties and three different states. Like, you know how many people have to be organized to pull off that kind of raid? It's like,
yeah,
hundreds of thousands of dollars and hours and hours and hours of organization before it even happens.
Right. So now we got, you know, other people coming out of the woodwork, pointing fingers, allegations. Honestly, there's been a lot that's been like in front of our faces all along that we kind of just passed off as maybe like bullshit or people talking shit. And I've been seeing a lot of those old videos of, you know, other, you know, artists in the same industry as Diddy, you know, actors, actresses, comedians coming forward. All these videos are being recycled. And now it's like things are really starting to connect and make sense. Whereas before you would, you know, they were on a podcast interview or a radio show interview and they'll make a little comment and you're like, that was out of left field. That makes no sense. What are you talking about? Now it makes total sense, right? Like, i.e., Cat Williams, you know, he went on his rant on Shannon. You know who I'm talking about?
I always forget his name too, but everybody knows about the Cat Williams interview.
Yeah, everyone, it was a 2-hour calling everyone out on their bullshit. And I gotta say, like, the dots are dotting. They're starting to connect and it's making a lot more sense.
He said it was all going to come out this year. And right. So far he's batting 1,000 with that.
It just really saddens me that, you know, hearing some of the things that went on, you know, you have like, it's kind of like this initiation type of thing where, okay, it was done to you. Now you have to go ahead and do it to somebody else. You know, there's names being thrown in like Usher, Justin Bieber, you know, all these.
In theory, that's what gang life is based on, right? They all have an initiation.
Right.
It's just that with Puff Daddy, it's been speculated and alleged that his initiation is a lot darker than so a gang initiation is you have to go and kill this person, or you have to go and rob this bank, or you have to go and do this crime, whatever. Whereas right. Diddy was like, you have to engage in homosexual relationships, specifically with the men. He would do that, allegedly.
Right.
And then use it to blackmail them. One of the screenshots in the court case that, so Rodney has an actual video, but there's a screenshot from the video of Stevie J actually engaged in an act with another man that allegedly Puff Daddy supplied to him. So it's a little bit more than alleged if there's a video and a screenshot, you know?
Right, right. Yeah.
And then you got 50 Cent out there blowing the whole thing up. Like, it's his, I mean, that's how I ended up in this. Like, I basically posted a video that was like, oh my gosh, have you guys seen 50 Cent on Instagram? He's like hyper posting, like his high school bully is going down in flames. Like, and it's the best thing he's ever seen in his life. He's literally still doing it to this day.
Is he? I haven't really checked in on him.
He literally posts multiple times a day about Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, whatever his name is. But he's also like, I don't trust it 100% either, because he hasn't posted things that are factual, and I was kind of hoping he would stay in the fact lane.
Right.
He's posted some sketchy stuff, so I'm like, stuff that I've debunked myself. So I'm like, what are you doing, 50?
Right. There's a lot out there, and people take their own, you know, and try to put things together and make allegations that are just totally out of left field. And it's hard to know, like, what's the truth. That's why I love so much, you know, you mentioned like your sources come from things that like you pay for to receive. So, you know, like the information is a little more trusted. It's a little more, you know, from the horse's mouth rather than hearsay and, you know, TikToks and what have you.
Yeah, I've been trying to base a lot of my research on past interviews that were actually published. So they actually have a legal, like,
right.
Somebody says something in an interview and it's a direct quote. That person has approved that quote to be printed, and it can be used in court, essentially. And also, like, video of somebody talking is completely different than just hearing somebody on TikTok say, well, I heard Mace say this. I try not to pay attention to those so much as I do, like, watching actual videos of Mace talking.
He's going off too.
Oh yeah. Well, he's been going off for years about Puff Daddy. He's always been very open about that. He hasn't brought up the real dark stuff. Mace's issue has always been that Puff Daddy has always exploited his artists.
Right.
And made more off them than they deserved. Like and at the beginning of 2023, he randomly decided to give all of the publishing rights back to his artists, but they had to sign an NDA in order to get them back.
Right.
Which is crazy because they're mostly older artists and they're already been spent. Like, people aren't paying, like, all that's really left is streaming rights. That's where the money would come from. And nobody's listening to the music because it's older. I mean, some people are, but like, they're not getting the same place that Taylor Swift is or Olivia Rodrigo. Like, they're not big anymore. So they're not really worth much, which is pretty sad. But,
and you know, what I think is crazy too with this whole thing is people are so upset and are really like standing by him, like, you know, no, this is not the truth. But like, there's so much evidence that it is. But to think that he's not the only, but he is the end all be all and the head of all this is insane. It's insanity. He is one of many. This is this is the entire industry. You hear it happening all over. Like, it's not just Diddy. He's the first of many that are going to follow and fall.
I mean, I said that like that a lot of people came at me for what I said because I essentially believe that. So I'm like kind of an astrology nerd.
Yeah.
And we're in an age of Aquarius right now. And essentially like the dark people are being, we're being shown the dark people and, it's being, they're being held accountable for their actions. And it's happening like, not just in music, it's happening politically. It's happening in music. It's happening. Even like you may notice in your personal life, like think of some of the bad people you've known throughout your life and ask yourself where they are today. And like, they probably are in one of the worst years of their life if they haven't had it already. Like, it's kind of just like a foreseeing of the good and bad in the world. I know it sounds like a little out there, but I just feel like the time has come basically for the bad people to crumble or at least be out about their badness. Like, if you're going to be bad loud.
Yeah.
Instead of being your snake.
Your time is up. Your time is up. All right. So now we have OJ, right? So this whole OJ thing, OJ passed away. He had cancer. Didn't even know he was sick. I think there was like a rumor and then he was like, no, I'm not sick. And then now here he's gone. So is he directly connected to all this? So I seen a TikTok you did and it was like kind of like a lineage rundown. And I thought that was really interesting. So give us that lineage rundown of the connection.
I feel like they're all connected.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But what it comes down to is I was actually looking everybody. So I get lots of comments on my Diddy videos and everybody wants me to look into certain connections of Diddy. And I was getting like all of these look into Justin Bieber. So while I was digging into Justin Bieber and Diddy's relationship, it popped up that and there was a third person in their relationship. So. And it was Corey Gamble. So Corey Gamble was Bieber's handler, essentially. Corey Gamble is Kris Jenner's boyfriend.
All right. So by handler, what do you mean by handler?
So Justin Bieber was a kid, essentially. So when you're a kid in Hollywood, usually you have someone that's like, you know, in charge of your like.
Okay.
Yeah. So he just.
A manager or agent type.
Manager, thing. Something like that. But not as. Well, his dad was always his manager, but this is more like a. I want to say like, not almost like a making sure you're doing what you're supposed to do or putting you in places where you need to be. That's like a Hollywood handler situation.
Gotcha.
Like another connection I made was like Britney Spears. Her handler was Robin something, Lou Taylor's right hand. So Robin something, but they're involved with Diddy too. So that's a whole other thing. But so Corey Gamble was Justin Bieber's handler, also very, very good with Pete, very good friends with P. Diddy. Corey Gamble was actually at the house the day that Kim Porter passed away. So there's paparazzi photos and Corey Gamble's in the photos. So that's how close he is with Diddy, that he was there when Diddy's partner died. So Corey Gamble's Kris Jenner's boyfriend. Kris Jenner was married to Robert Kardashian, who was O.J. Simpson's defense attorney. Also found out recently, I didn't even put this on my TikTok yet. A lot of people know this, but Kris Jenner and Nicole Brown were actually best friends.
Yes.
So there's a lot of ties between the Jenners, the Kardashians, and OJ Simpson. But the tie between them two is Corey Gamble. And Corey Gamble's her longtime boyfriend. And people speculate that they're actually not even in a relationship, that he's her handler.
Gotcha.
There's also a lot of speculation and allegations that Corey Gamble is, you know, a federal employee or an informant or CIA. So there's a lot about Corey out there. But that's the main connection that I made when I was sleuthing.
I had seen something, too, about Kris Jenner and that she was now under fire for something in you know, relation to this whole Diddy situation. And someone had commented, now this is not a trusted source. This is like a TikToker who commented their two cents. They had said something like she is actually like a madam in this whole situation. I don't know how true that is or if you heard anything about that.
There's a lot about, so Kris Jenner's, I would be hard pressed to say, in my opinion, that Kris Jenner is innocent by any means. So you don't get that big and that rich without the true exception. If you get that big and that rich without hurting people or stepping on someone to get where you're going to go. Like it's, I would say it's fairly rare. Right. Do I think it can happen? Yes. Do I think that Kris Jenner has that personality of angelicness that she got to be a billionaire by being nice? No. So I think that there's probably a darkness about Kris. And she, if it came out tomorrow that like Kris Jenner is like huge Hollywood madam, like blah, blah, I would not be surprised. Look what she did with her own daughters.
Same. That's what I was thinking too. First thing.
She built her entire empire on her daughter's sex tape. Like that's right. Where their money started.
Yeah.
When Robert Kardashian died, he didn't leave her anything. So she was essentially like, I mean, she eventually married Jenner, but like Kardashian didn't leave her anything. So wow.
That's crazy. I didn't know that. Crazy, crazy. So yeah. Wait, so now, you know, we have OJ's passed away, right? You know what I thought was crazy when I heard this? Everything's circulating back and all these, you know, Gen Zers have their input. And I just want to say like children, I don't know if I have Gen Zers that listen to me, but children just sit down and be quiet. Let us millennials handle this. I will bring all of my memories back that I was forced to watch that trial. I learned things at a very young age that I probably shouldn't have learned, probably should not have saw. You know, there's so
much. They turned the verdict on while we were in school. Like it was on live TV while we were sitting in school.
I know. It was so crazy. But that was literally everyone was glued to it. And it was in a time, you know, we had Rodney King. So everything was racially fueled. And I recently saw something where a former juror was interviewed and she admitted that it was payback for Rodney King when all that
I saw that too.
And I got to tell you, I believe that wholeheartedly. I mean, come on now.
I mean, she would know she was in the room.
Like, right. They had the evidence. Know. I was, you know, perusing on old, you know, TikTok on again, not a trusted source. Some woman claimed to be on the defense team as a paralegal for that trial. And she was like, he's guilty. Believe me, I worked on that trial. I thought to myself, woman, I hope you're retired and you should probably be saying that, but take that for what it's worth. I mean, you don't know what to believe and what not to believe, but I would have to say when you're on your deathbed and you're making people sign an NDA in order to come in and say their goodbyes to you, that's a little sus.
Yeah. I mean, it's just from the beginning. Like if you didn't kill your wife, you don't go on a run. You don't go on a police chase. You don't put a gun to your head in the back of your vehicle. Like you don't joke about it. Like one of his first meetings with his defense. I forget the guy's name off the top of my head, but he had a cut on his finger. So in jail, when you see someone in jail, they're sitting on one side of plexiglass. You're sitting on the other. And the way to shake hands, if you meet someone in jail, is to put your fist up to the glass, like, and just do a little pounds. So someone on OJ's defense team, and I wish I could remember his name off the top of my head, had a cut on his finger. So he had a bandage and it had a little bit of blood on it. Now this is like a week after he's in jail. So he like did the pounds with OJ and OJ's like, maybe you did it. Like, you don't joke about your wife or your ex-wife, whatever she was at the time. You don't joke about it. Like, it's not funny. It's not funny to anybody. And he also said things like, he said to the guy, like, and this was in an interview, like, of the guy that this happened to. I just forget his name. It's a well-known name. But he was like, you know, if I did it, like, I'm way smarter than that. Like, you think if I did it, I would drop my glove in the driveway? Like, do you think I would do something so stupid? And it's just like, first of all, when somebody does something like that, when they have a character break like that, when they kill someone, anything that you thought you knew about that person, you could throw out the window. So you can't, I don't know. It's just crazy. You just don't joke about it. And he's been happy to talk about it ever since he got off. And I'm pretty sure in one interview or in a book or something, he alluded to it, that he did it.
He wrote his book, If I Did It, I think it was called. And it was like, you know, I didn't do it, but if I did, this is how I would do it.
Yeah, but he like totally profited off her death.
If my spouse was murdered gruesomely, the last thing I would be doing is writing a book like that. I mean, come on. I don't know.
Yeah. It's
insanity.
He was something else for sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know what to say when it comes to that. Now everybody's, you know, an expert. And my thing is, you know, go back, really do your research, really figure out where these sources are coming from, not just with OJ, but with Diddy too. That's why I wanted to bring you on and dive a little deeper into this, because I know us gals are really all into the tea with this Diddy.
I mean, so my theory is, to anybody that's like listening and wants to look into something, or even just like, just in your everyday life, you know how you react to news on April Fool's Day? Like your first gut instinct is to be like, oh, it's April Fool's Day, I'm going to do some extra Googling to see if this is real or not. You should do that every day. Like that should be something you do every time you read any news about anything, because it's just absurd how much bullshit we're fed, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. And look at your sources, you know, even if it's a trusted source, look and see who backs, you know, what that corporation is, who backs them. Like, there's so many dots you connect there too. Sometimes those trusted sources are agenda driven, and you have to watch what you read and what to believe.
Yeah. And the other part of that is that, so there's rules legally with journalism. So if you're really truly reporting news, there's rules you have to follow.
Right.
You can't lie. There's a lot of things, like you can seriously get in trouble if you lie. So when you are listening to a news source, per se, like a CNN or a Fox News, look up what type of industry they are in, because I'll give you an example. Fox News is not a news. Fox News is not in the news column. Fox News is in the entertainment column. So Fox News legally is allowed to lie to you because they're listed as an entertainment.
Right.
An entertainment source versus a news source. There's really easy ways to protect yourself from fake news. It's just about, people don't want you to know what they are. Well, at least the mass media doesn't want you to know what they are.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Let everyone know, if they want to keep abreast of this Diddy situation, where they can find you on those social media platforms.
Yeah, I'm Stephanie Jane everywhere. So it's Stephanie Jane. So I'm that on all the platforms. Very easy to find.
Nice. Well, thank you for coming on. It was a pleasure
to have
you.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, boobies. If you don't know, now you know. We got a Booby Squad hotline. That's right. A place just for you to make your mark, to speak it with your chest, and say how you feel. Ask us a question. Tell us a story about what's been going down in your life, or give your opinion on a recent episode. Whatever it is, send it in, and who knows? Maybe you will be a segment topic on the next episode. Click the link in this week's episode description, or hop on over to my Instagram at amandayoa.official and click the link in my bio and throw it down. Can't wait to hear from you, boo. All right, now back to the episode. Let's be real. I wanted to bring this topic up because I seen something on the internet, and then I was talking to a girlfriend of mine, and she's like, you know what, Amanda, you should really talk about imposter syndrome, because I think as women, it's something that we can all relate to, and myself included. I was like, hell yeah, I should talk about imposter syndrome. Jesus Christ. Like, I've experienced it in every level. Even, you know, from time to time, it comes up now, things that I'm doing. I think anytime we step out of our zone of comfort, all of those like scarcity and fear-based mindset ways of thinking try to creep up into our mind and keep us from doing the thing, right? And imposter syndrome is one of them. It's like, who am I? You know, if you don't know what imposter syndrome is, it's basically saying to yourself, you know, I can't do this because people are going to think I'm a fraud. They're going to think I'm a fugazi. They're going to think I'm a fugazi. You know what I'm trying to tell you? And you think you're not, you don't have the expertise. You can't talk about it. You can't do the thing, in fear of feeling like you're not adequately equipped to do whatever it is that you want to do. So I was on the Google, and verywell.com had actually different forms of imposter syndrome, which I never even knew existed. So shout out to them. But there's different forms. So the first one is the perfectionist. This type of imposter syndrome involves believing that unless you are absolutely perfect, you could have done better, right? We can all relate to that. The expert feels like an imposter because they don't know everything there is to know about a particular subject or topic, or they haven't mastered every step in a process because there's more for them to learn. They don't feel as if they reach the rank of expert. So therefore, they don't do the thing. Relatable. The natural genius. In this imposter syndrome type, you may feel like a fraud simply because you don't believe that you are naturally intelligent or competent. If you don't get something right the first time around, or it takes you longer to master a skill, you feel like an imposter. I feel like that's relatable too from time to time. The soloist is also possible to feel like an imposter if you had to ask for help to reach a certain level or status. I feel like I'm being called out right now. I don't know about you. I feel like I'm being called out right now. What the hell? All right. Last one is the super person. This type of imposter syndrome involves believing that you must be the hardest worker or reach the highest levels of achievement possible. And if you don't, you're a fraud. You could probably stamp that one with my name if you wanted to. That's me right there. All right. And I will say that I keep it real with you guys. Like, I'm not perfect. I don't show up in this space like, there's never a moment where I don't feel like an imposter in what I do. Like, I feel like all of these things kind of are all in the realm of feeling like we need to show up perfect, right? Even though the first one was the perfectionist, I feel like all of them, in a way, it's like you need to be this perfect superhuman who doesn't need anyone's help. They know everything, like the know-it-all, you know? And if you're anything but that, you're less than. I mean, it's kind of bullshit if you really think about it. If you break it down to yourself, you're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. Newsflash. Hate to tell you, you're never going to reach quote unquote perfection. I always say the word perfect was an ugly word that some miserable person made up to try to achieve something that's never achievable, right? And they just wanted to torture their lives until the day they died. So you're never going to achieve perfect. Right? The expert, you're not going to know everything, right? And if you were to know everything, you'd be a very lonely person. Like, I love connecting with people. I love collaborating with people because it allows me to learn through people's experiences, the things that they've invested in, what they want to share with me. You know, who am I to say I know everything there is to know about life? Who is anyone to say that, right? Kind of like arrogant in a way, if you ask me. So you're never going to be the know-it-all, okay? The natural genius. I mean, nobody's a natural genius. I mean, do I need to break that down any further? Nobody's a fucking natural genius about anything. We all have to invest in ourselves. We all have to learn the name of the game. I said, if you were to get it perfect on the first try, I always say this, if you were to get it perfect on the first try, what wisdom would you have to share? Okay. And last I checked, we ain't out here all, you know, descendants from Gandhi. So none of us are just natural geniuses. I do know sometimes we can be very resistant to help. And that can sometimes be like a trauma response, you know, feeling like we don't want to be let down. So we just do things on our own because growing up, we didn't have supportive parents or supportive parental adults that helped us with things. So we became very overly independent, and we take that with us into adulthood, because if we do ask for help and that person lets us down, we feel hurt and our past trauma comes up. So I can see that being in a lot of people's lives. But I will tell you from experience, and I've been that person that, you know, oh no, I'm going to do it on my own. And you know what? I think a part of it too. So I was a only child until I was like 7. And then my mom had my sister. And then my brother is 10 years younger than me. So having that only child syndrome, sometimes I believe plays a part in wanting to do things on your own. sometimes needing your own space, not wanting to really like share or engage in certain aspects, I think you can really like dial that back to being an only child. And for me, I would have to say a lot of that might come from that for me, you know, to feel like if I had to reach for help or what have you, that you feel less than. But I will tell you from experience, every time that I've asked for help, it's given me quantum leaps in everything that I've ever done. Right. And then the superhuman person, it's silly to think that you're a superhuman. So I wanted to bring all these up to just let you know that, you know, pretty much what I gathered, it's a bunch of bullshit that we carry with us. And imagine not doing things with these beliefs of having to show up perfect, or beliefs of having to do it all on your own, or beliefs that you have to be the absolute expert in order to get started in something. Like I said, nobody is an expert from day one. Okay. If you are, you are a superhuman. You're not human, basically. You're not human. We're here to learn. We're here to grow. We're here to evolve. That is the process. That is the game. That's what we signed up for. Okay. When we put on these meat suits and came down to this planet called Earth, experience, learning, growing, evolving. That's what we signed up for. So let this be, you know, something to take with you, lock it, put it in your pocket. If you are feeling like an imposter, if you are feeling like you can't show up until you do this, this, or this, or you can't show up and ask for help, because then that's going to take away from the thing that you're doing. No, not at all. It's just a belief that we carry with us in order to prevent us from doing the thing. Believe in your expertise. Believe in the qualities of excellence that you possess, and take action with those things. Invest in yourself, you know, build those qualities, those talents, those skills that you've acquired. Build on those things and create something amazing. But don't ever think that you can't show up. Don't ever say to yourself, who am I? And if you do, which, like I said, from time to time, if you are reaching a new level and doing something new and unknown, that fear and scarcity will creep back up and try to remind you of things that you used to hold on to, like this, you know, like, I'm an imposter. Who am I to do this thing? You tell yourself who you are. You remind yourself that you're a bad bitch, right? And that you can do all things, and that asking for help is good, and that you don't have to be the expert, and that perfect is a made-up word, right? Perfect is bullshit. There's no such thing as perfect. We're learning, we're growing, we're evolving, and there's really no such thing as a super person. Nobody can do things alone. Why would you want to? I mean, that would be a scary thing to do. You can, but I feel it's more rewarding when you have a team. It takes a village. It takes a village when you're a mom. It takes a village when you're starting a business. Everything. Investing is a part of that, asking for help, right? Going to school. We all went to school. What do you think that was? People were helping you. People were, you know, growing that little brain you got. Well, they're not, it's not little. I'm sorry. I apologize for saying that. I was trying to be, you know, smart. Growing that amazing brain that's in your little See, I said little again. It's in your little noggin, okay? It's just my cute way of saying things. Growing that brain. You know, we all went to school. Somebody was there to help us, to teach us along the way. So remind yourself in those moments when imposter syndrome will creep into your life, because it will. Remind yourself in those moments of who you are, what your talents are, and that there's always room for evolution and growth. We're here to learn. We're here to not get it right. We're here to learn. Okay. So that's my little spiel. I'll get off my soapbox about imposter syndrome from all of you today, because it's a relevant thing. And it holds back a lot of women from being able to do what it is that they really want to do, because they think to themselves, who am I? But who are you? That's what I say. When you say, who am I? Talk back to yourself and say, yeah, who am I? I'm a bad bitch. And until next time, stay inspired. And that's a wrap on today's episode, girlfriends. But wait, before you go, I got a few things for you to do real quick. Number one, drop us a review. Your feedback is gold and helps us grow and bring the show to more amazing listeners just like you. Number two, subscribe. If you haven't already, what are you waiting for? Subscribe to our podcast. This way, you'll never miss out on another amazing episode. And number three, join our VIP email list. I mean, are you ready for some exclusive content, sneak peeks, and special goodies? Well, then sign up. Trust us. It's where the real party happens. Your support keeps this show roaring. Thanks for tuning in. And remember, together we create that next level self. Okay, I'll let you go now. Bye-bye.